Beach was already taking notes. So was Yarber. Spicer began pacing around the small room like a bear stalking prey. The ideas came slowly, the language, the opinions, the strategy. But before long, the letter took shape. In rough draft, Beach read it. Dear Quince, so nice to get your letter of January 14th. I'm so happy you got the gay cruise booked. It sounds delightful. One problem, though, I won't be able to make it, and there are a couple of reasons for this. One is that I won't be released for a few more years. I'm in a prison, not a drug treatment clinic. And I'm not gay. Far from it. I have a wife and two kids, and right now they're having a difficult time financially because I'm sitting here in prison unable to support them. That's where you come in, Quince. I need some of your money. I want $100,000. We can call it hush money. You send it, and I'll forget the Ricky business and the gay cruise, and no one in Baker's, Iowa will ever know anything about it. If you don't send the money, then I'll flood your little town with copies of our letters. It's called extortion, Quince, and you're caught. It's cruel and mean and criminal, and I don't care. I need money, and you have it. Beach stopped and looked around the room for approval. It's beautiful, said Spicer, already spending the loot. It's nasty, said Yarber. But what if he kills himself? That's a long shot, said Beach. They read the letter again, then debated whether the timing was right. They did not mention the illegality of their scam or the punishment if they got caught. Those discussions had been laid to rest months earlier, when Gilroy Spicer had convinced the other two to join him. The risks were insignificant when weighed against the potential returns. The Quinces who got themselves snared were not likely to run to the police and complain of extortion. But they hadn't busted anyone yet. They were corresponding with a dozen or so potential victims, all middle-aged men who had made the mistake of answering this simple ad. Single white male in 20s. Looking for kind and discreet gentlemen in 40s or 50s to pen pal with. One little personal, in small print, in the back of a gay magazine, had yielded 60 responses, and Spicer had the chore of sifting through the rubbish and identifying rich targets. At first, he'd found the work disgusting. Then he became amused by it. Now it was a business, because they were about to extort $100,000 from a perfectly innocent man. Their lawyer would take a third, the usual cut, but a frustrating percentage nonetheless. They had no choice. He was a critical player in their crimes. They worked on the letter to Quince for an hour, then agreed to sleep on it and do a final draft the next day.